Welcome to Locked On Heat. On today's show, we'll talk about Vegas's optimistic odds of the Heat winning next season's NBA championship.
And that's because they're giving the Heat a chance to sign LeBron James this summer. We'll talk about that and other trade ideas in today's mailbag. Thank you so much for listening and for subscribing. Let's get to the show.
You are Locked On Heat, your daily Miami Heat podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, let's do this. Welcome to Locked On Heat, your daily Miami Heat podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. My name is Wes Goldberg. I'm a credentialed writer covering the NBA for the Step Back. I write for Miami Heat's Tip Off magazine. You can find me on Twitter at WC Goldberg.
And I'm David Romello, credentialed NBA writer who's covered the Heat for SB Nation, allyoucanheat.com. I cover the league at large for FanSided. You can follow me and my writing on Twitter at DRomello13.
We're opening up the mailbag today to talk about LeBron bringing his talents back to South Beach and some follow-up questions regarding Andrew Wiggins and our conversation we had about him from last week. So let's start with this message from Billy, who writes in, "Here's an interesting article. I'd like to believe it, but I don't." Now, you guys don't know what the article is because he emailed us a link to an article about Miami's odds of winning next season's NBA Finals, which are currently at 20-1, tied for fifth in the league behind only the Warriors, Rockets, 76ers, and Celtics, tied with the Lakers. David, I think it's pretty clear what all of those teams, or not all of those teams, but those the 76ers and the Lakers at least, have in common with the Heat and why they might be listed at 20-1 or better to win next season's championship.
Well, I mean, I could kind of separate the first four teams, the Warriors, Rockets, 76ers, and Celtics, as being potential title contenders based on their depth and the talent that they have and the fact that they made pretty strong playoff runs. Obviously, the Warriors on their way to a third title in 4 years. The Rockets, a strong Western Coast contender. The Celtics look pretty good. They're going to get Kyrie Irving and Gordon Hayward back. But the Lakers, what do they have in common with Miami? I'm thinking it's the sunshine. That has to be it, right?
It's definitely not the cap space. That's for sure, because the Lakers have that. The Heat don't. It's the sunshine. Maybe the fact that, maybe somebody might want to come play for those teams.
Julius Randle?
Oh, I hope so. Oh, man. Oh, that got me even more excited than LeBron James.
No, that's ridiculous. That's ridiculous. No. All right, so obviously LeBron James is the subject of Las Vegas's optimistic, theoretical discussion there. I guess they're theorizing. I mean, it's an interesting possibility. Clearly, Miami's title chances would improve dramatically, as they have with every team that has LeBron James. It's 8 straight trips to the finals. We'll talk more about what that would include or what that would take in order for Miami to acquire a player like LeBron James. But just on the surface, how do you think that return, not necessarily be facilitated, but what kind of impact would it have? Would he be welcomed back? Is it something that you think
this
team, is prepared to make an offer to him? Mm. Will they get a meeting with him, given how things broke off so badly in 2014 with Rich Paul, et cetera?
Well, the interesting, I don't think Pat Riley is going to be, he's not going to be putting the rings on the table, so to speak. He doesn't have to. And I don't think he wants to just beg for LeBron back. I think the only way it happens, and we do have a mailbag questions about specifically how this would work out later on, but I don't see Riley begging for LeBron back. I don't see, and I think if LeBron does come back to the Heat, it would be him facilitating that more so than what Riley was able to do in 2010 by facilitating the big three signing there, by clearing the cap space, etc., and planning well in advance for that. I think LeBron would just be like, what the hell with the Cavaliers? I know I can win in Miami. They have proven to be able to put a team around me. I want to go do it again there. And South Beach was dope, and I liked it there, so I want to go back. But to me, we'll get into the LeBron stuff later on, but holy crap, is this reckless by Vegas? I mean, 20-1 odds. Is any of the smart money betting on the Heat? I mean, they must have, to me, when I read this, they must have, my first thought that they must have some sort of inside information that, or I don't know, I don't really know how Vegas works in making these odds, but they must feel like the Heat are a realistic landing spot for LeBron James, regardless of cap space or what LeBron wants to do or if he wants to be in Hollywood when he retires. I don't know. But they must think that the Heat have a damn good shot at it, as good as the Lakers at least, because they have 20-1 odds. They were 100-1 odds this season.
Yeah,
that's how big of an impact LeBron James would have on them. I mean, they would be one of the six most favorited teams to win the championship next year. That is insane and, to me, reckless by Vegas. I don't know if anybody in the right mind is betting on the Heat, because for 20-1 odds, we can compare. Look, the Lakers are going to have cap space. If they don't get LeBron, they're getting somebody, probably, right? They have they have good young players. They're a team on the upswing, and they're going to be able to get possibly two or three max level kind of guys this summer. That makes sense to me why they would have 20-1 odds, right? It makes more sense certainly than the Heat. The Celtics make a lot of sense. The Sixers make sense. Obviously, those other teams, the Warriors and Rockets, those are two of the top. Those are arguably your top bet, the two best teams in the league right now. So that makes sense to me. The Heat have only like one route of getting into this conversation, and that is LeBron James deciding he wants to come back. Is there another way Miami can get into this championship conversation other than LeBron?
They'd have to, well, and on top of whatever it would take in order to sign and trade for LeBron James, obviously, I think you'd have to make other moves as well, complementary moves to get him another a superstar that could play alongside him and help take the team to the next level. Because I just don't think, as you and I have discussed many times, that there's anybody on the roster currently built to help in that regard. Now, right. Look, we're discounting. Okay, we're thinking that LeBron's biggest priority, and he said so, and so that's probably why we're thinking this, is that winning is the most important thing to him. But he's also shown this year that he could probably win at a reasonably high level with anybody as his teammates. His team in Cleveland right. This year has not been very good. The best player there has definitely been Kevin Love, and even he, for all his talent, is a pretty limited type player. He's not very good defensively. He's only engaged when he's shooting well from the perimeter. He doesn't have the same kind of impact down low as he once did. Not to say he's not a great player. I'd love to have Kevin Love on our roster, but he is limited. So that didn't stop LeBron from being one of the best teams in the Eastern Conference, from being having a winning record during the regular season, from beating out really strong-looking teams during the regular season in the playoffs, such as Toronto and Boston, and still finding a way to make it fairly at least interesting, if not, you know, not necessarily competitive against the Golden State Warriors. He did make it interesting for the first two games so far at the point we're recording this. So maybe he's just thinking about, look, we talked about this in Locked On NBA, so definitely everybody should listen to that podcast when they're done listening to this one, if they're not already doing so. But to me, I think you and I both feel that he's been very frustrated with his team, with his franchise, with everything that's happened there. He's done everything he could possibly do for the city of Cleveland by winning a championship. He might just be happy in South Florida. You know, his kids were happy here. His wife was happy here. His mom was happy here. That family that means so much to LeBron, it might be something he's trying to recreate. However improbably it might be, he just might think that this was the franchise that gave me that first best opportunity. And I'll be honest with you, the LeBron of 2010 through 2014, even during those tough moments in 2014, seemed a whole hell of a lot happier than the guy that's been playing in Cleveland over the last 4 years. I think it's
going into game. I think you're right, because going into game one, didn't he have that sit down with like Rachel Nichols in the pregame show on ESPN or something? And I don't know if this had been previously reported, but it was the first time I heard it that he didn't want David Griffin, the former general manager, fired. Dan Gilbert fired him anymore. Not fired, but not extended his contract.
Right.
He didn't want David Griffin to go. Dan Gilbert let him walk. He didn't want Kyrie Irving traded, and even said he called Gilbert and said, don't make this trade. They made it happen anyway. And when asked about his relationship with Dan Gilbert, he always says, we have a good working relationship. And he's politically tiptoeing around it, and that's good. LeBron could say a lot worse things about Dan Gilbert, because Dan Gilbert damn sure has said a lot worse things about LeBron. But I kind of like where your train of thought is going here, where, look, if he can take basically – 15 Jeff Greens to the NBA Finals. He could take any team to the NBA Finals. So why not do it somewhere where he respects the ownership, respects the organization, respects the head coach, and likes the scenery, likes where he's living. You know, I'm sure he loves Cleveland, but if he's thinking about leaving anyway, he knows he loves South Beach. He still owns a home in South Beach. Why not? I get that, but to me, I go back to that whole thing where, for 20-1 odds, I wonder if Vegas thinks that there's another way for the Heat to get to the championship other than LeBron, right? Because to me, 20-1 odds is pretty high, especially when you compare it to these other teams. And those other, so maybe maybe Vegas is thinking that the Heat are have an outside chance at landing Kawhi Leonard, and then that could take them to on a similar path, or that, you know, Pat Riley is due to make a huge move for a star player that maybe we're not even talking about or thinking about right now. And that, to me, is what the more interesting thing about this is. I mean, the whole LeBron James saga is going to play out, and it's going to be very interesting. It's going to be the main storyline this offseason. But again, for 20-1 odds, I wonder if Vegas thinks that there's another route for the Heat to get there.
Kevin Durant, maybe some frustration there in Golden State. Maybe they win another title, his second in two straight years. Maybe he decides he's ready to move on from that experiment and find another team, one he can call his own, closer to the East Coast where he grew up. I could see that being a possibility.
I think KD would like Miami.
I think he'd love it here, and I think that would be great for Miami.
Well, let's go more into LeBron with our next mailbag question after this quick break. Back with Locked On Heat. So Vegas is giving Miami a good chance at landing LeBron James this summer. The only problem is that the Heat don't have the cap space to sign him outright. That leads us to this question from Julie, who writes in, sign and trade LeBron James for Hassan Whiteside and Tyler Johnson. So let's get into the mechanics of this, right? Because we talked a lot in that segment one about what that would look like, about LeBron, if he would get Miami to that championship level. And I think, obviously, he would. But how would it work?
Well, I think first something that you hinted at in that first segment is that if LeBron makes that decision to sign anywhere, and I think you told me this via text and also hinted at in the first segment, like, Cleveland has to make it happen. Like, they either get nothing or watch him walk away, or they facilitate whatever trade the other team that he chooses to sign with can possibly make. And it might not be a great one. Look, I think Miami, you know, we saw Pat Riley, I don't know if necessarily get fleeced, because again, he was getting LeBron James in 2010, but he probably gave up too much in that top draft pick that he included in order to accommodate that sign and trade. Probably something that didn't need to take place in the first place, but of course, Riley devaluing draft picks as much as he does said, sure, take a draft pick. We're getting the best player of all time on our team. Why not? So 29 other teams are available there for LeBron to sign, and Cleveland has no choice but to basically take whatever offer they get.
That's a really good point, because even, and Brian Windhorst has said this on Zach Lowe's podcast, that, you know, everybody keeps looking at, when we're trying to predict where LeBron is going to land this summer, we keep looking at teams that have the requisite cap space, like Philadelphia, like the Lakers. But I think it's going to be less of the Kevin Durant situation, right, where the Warriors happen to have the cap space and be the best landing spot for him.
Right.
It's going to be more of the Chris Paul situation of this last summer, where Houston didn't have the cap space, but Chris Paul wanted to go to Houston, and so mountains were moved. And I think that you move mountains for LeBron James, and he is going to determine where he ends up. If he calls Pat Riley and says, I want to play for you, figure it out, Pat Riley will figure it out. Yes. And you might, and I think the key question there is, does Cleveland want to take anything back? Because if they take back matching salary, which would be Hassan Whiteside, Tyler Johnson for LeBron, and probably some other pieces, like a J.R. Smith or a Tristan Thompson or something of that a contract of that size, which wouldn't be good for Miami, but you do it if you're Miami, because you also are getting LeBron, but yes. You know, maybe not play J.R. Smith in the last minute of the game.
Ouch.
But I don't know that Cleveland would want that. I don't think, because if they currently have the highest payroll in the league, why would they want matching salary in return for LeBron to stay in the luxury tax to pay for a team that has Hassan Whiteside, Tyler Johnson, and George Hill? No way. I don't think that, to go to Julie's question here, I don't think they do that sign and trade. I don't think that's even on the table for the Cavaliers. I think they would rather just see LeBron walk.
Would you have to include, say, a Justice Winslow that the Cavaliers could market as not a replacement for LeBron James, but somebody can go in there with similar and lesser skills and kind of be the focal point of your team moving forward?
I don't think that if Justice Winslow is traded for LeBron, or if that he ends up on the Cavaliers. It would be a three-way trade where you're attaching Justice Winslow to the Hassan Whiteside or Tyler Johnson contract to a third party to clear the cap space. Because again, I don't think Cleveland wants the cap space, or wants the salaries of a Whiteside or a Tyler Johnson, most certainly not both of them. But I don't think that they'd have the leverage in this situation to demand a prospect the caliber of Justice Winslow back in return. Because Miami could just, like Cleveland can and would ask for Justice Winslow, and Pat Riley could be like, well, no, Pat, LeBron's walking anyway. We're not giving you Justice
Winslow. So how about this? This is just off the top of my head, and I have no idea if this works. Hassan to Cleveland, where they get that rim protector, and of course, then they ship Tristan Thompson over to us. So that could that allows Kevin Love to switch to the four, where he's probably better suited anyway. But then Tyler Johnson goes to, say, Portland, maybe? And then in exchange for C.J. McCollum, who gets moved to, maybe Justice Winslow gets attached to Portland and for in addition to Tyler Johnson. And then C.J. McCollum gets sent to Cleveland. So they get C.J. McCollum and Hassan Whiteside in exchange for Tristan Thompson and LeBron. And then in exchange for C.J. McCollum, Portland gets Tyler Johnson. So they get Tyler to fill in that shooting guard spot. And they also get Justice Winslow to provide a little wing depth and some playmaking ability as well.
I think that could certainly be a skeleton of something. Portland would need a lot more back in return for McCollum.
Probably.
But, I mean, Cleveland could move some draft picks. Miami could move a 2019 draft pick and stuff like that. I think you have the outline of maybe a deal that could work there. Maybe you throw in some short-term salaries and take some of those long-term contracts off of Portland's hands too.
Mm-hmm.
More likely Cleveland sending those salaries out. But that could work. I was thinking also, you know, are you able to trade Whiteside into cap space to Dallas? Or are you able to trade him to Washington and move some of those expiring contracts like a Marcin Gortat and a Jason Smith to Cleveland? So that they can maybe not this summer have any cap space, but the following summer have a lot more cap space. That I think a third team needs to get involved here because the Heat obviously can't sign LeBron outright. And the Cavaliers aren't going to... I do think that the Cavaliers would rather take nothing back than take somebody like Whiteside and Tyler Johnson back because you can't build around Whiteside and Tyler Johnson.
Right.
And you certainly don't want to pay the luxury tax for those players. Now, you're willing to pay the luxury tax for LeBron, but not for those guys.
Right. Now, I will say that when it comes to team building around LeBron, obviously you can find a winning recipe because LeBron is as good as he is, and it doesn't really matter so long as you get some contributions from other players that he's sharing the floor with. But if you want a realistic chance at building a title, it basically comes down to high-level role players, guys that can do a lot of things well or that can specialize in one thing, shooting, defense, etc. It doesn't behoove Miami or LeBron to have what Miami has in their roster, which is basically a bunch of guys that don't specialize in anything and can do things reasonably well. So I don't know that this roster as it currently stands is the best fit for a guy like LeBron. You want to have either quality shooters or somebody else. Like, you don't want to, you can argue that Josh Richardson and Justice Winslow are Miami's best players. Maybe you throw in Olynyk there. And at the same time, they're kind of duplicative as far as that they're just kind of all around players that aren't particularly good in creating shots for themselves or knocking down shots.
It would be clunky offensively. Absolutely. It would be really good defensively for LeBron because LeBron would never have to defend the best player on the opposing team ever. Right. Like, you could play LeBron in the Rover spot 24/7 and have Winslow and Richardson and even a guy like James Johnson guard the best opposing player, perimeter player. And not have to worry about it. Defensively, I think that team could be dangerous. Miami, I think, could be dangerous next year anyway, regardless of having LeBron or not. Offensively, you're exactly right. It would certainly be clunky. They'd have to make some other moves around it, right? And we saw that in 2010. I mean, they got LeBron and Wade and Bosch, but then they made a bunch of moves. They went and got Mike Miller. They were able to re-sign Udonis Haslem. They went and got a bunch of different guards to fill in, a point guard by committee.
Carlos Arroyo.
Yeah, the GOAT. Second GOAT behind Mario Chalmers, the other point guard on that team. When you get LeBron, you have to make a lot of moves, and that would be something that the Heat would have to figure out. I think, you look at a guy like maybe a Deion Waiters who they would try to move, because you – or they might want to keep – I think you would end up parting with either a Dragic or a Deion Waiters. Maybe, obviously you try to move Whiteside. If you didn't move him in the LeBron deal in the first place, I think you'd maybe try to move him to clear some of that cap space. Because you're going to be shifting a lot of funds to the small forward position with LeBron. And then, Kelly Olynyk, I think, would work really well with him. I think Bam Adebayo would fit in nicely with LeBron as far as a rim roller. We know that LeBron is able to throw those lobs really well. What he's able to do with Tristan Thompson, Kevin Love, I think Bam Adebayo could help could certainly replicate that.
Yes.
But they would have to find, like, Wayne Ellington would be a great fit next to LeBron. Absolutely. Right? Like, he would have to replicate a lot of those kind of things as far as getting shooters. I think a guy like James Johnson would probably be on the move as well for maybe a more shoot first type player. But certainly, like, those are all problems that the Heat would love to have, right? If they're trying to figure out how to build around LeBron, I think they'd be happy to do it.
Does he meet that superstar criteria that Miami might be lacking at this point?
A little bit.
I think so, yeah. Right? He might tilt a little bit in Miami's favor, yeah.
I mean, it would be nice to, you know, break out those LeBron Heat jerseys again. We're daydreaming right now.
Would they unretire Michael Jordan's 23 so that LeBron could wear it here in Miami?
They should. And Marino's number 13. He can wear both stupid retired numbers. I think, look, it would be great. I think it's a pipe dream.
It is.
But then again, Vegas thinks that there's realistic odds, apparently. And I keep going back to that. And I trust Vegas, man. I don't know what your opinion
Vegas
on,
also
on Vegas
gave
odds
Celine
and stuff,
Dion
but they always
an
know
annual
stuff.
Show and Britney Spears. So I don't trust Vegas for anything.
Different Vegas. That's,
oh, sorry, yeah.
That's a different Vegas. The bookmakers there, man, they know stuff. They know stuff that we don't. So just think about that. Last week we talked about the idea of the Heat trading for Andrew Wiggins. Not quite LeBron James, but pretty close. We'll take another question about that when we come back after this break. Back with Locked On Heat, let's get to our final mailbag question. This one comes from Mark, who writes in, Wiggins for Tyler Johnson and Justice Winslow. Would this work cap-wise? Would we want to do this? The first answer to that question is yes, it would work cap-wise. The Heat could pull that off. So that's done. But as far as would we want to do this, David, do you think that the Heat should want to trade? If the Timberwolves, if Tom Thibodeau called up and his crusty old man voice asked for Tyler Johnson and Justice Winslow back for Andrew Wiggins, should Pat Riley and Andy Ellisberg say yes?
Well, that is a really, really tough question. You know, as we talked about when we were discussing Andrew in the first place, like, you know, he's got a lot of potential there. He's entering that peak physically, you know, similarly to what Justice is, to be honest with you. Not much of an age difference between the two. I think that Wiggins has a higher ceiling, particularly offensively, than anything that Justice could arrive at. Having said that, it seems like Winslow might be better suited for a longer, if not necessarily more productive, NBA career, just because of his versatility, because of the fact that he plays defense at such a high level, because his shooting has shown that he can improve, because he's a better playmaker than Wiggins is at this point.
Yep.
I think you could look at Winslow as being a better, more complete player at this point, even if Wiggins is by far a better scorer. And that's the knock on his game, is that that's what he does, and that's the only thing that he does. Although, you know, he's not atrocious, or as atrocious as people want to make him out to be, defensively or as a playmaker. He is limited. That's not where he's most engaged. And so I think when you look at what Winslow can do and his all-around skill set, that's better. Now, having said that, you know, the thing is that Miami doesn't have another opportunity, barring a trade for LeBron James, to get a superstar, and Wiggins might be that player. He might eventually fill out and become a more complete player. And if that's the case, then you'd want him on your team based on his offensive repertoire, which is greater than what Justice currently has. So it's a tough call. If you're asking me right now at this point in time, I would say I'd rather bet on Winslow. And I think a lot of that has to do with his performance in the playoffs, because that really opened my eyes a lot. You know, I've been critical and kind of hesitant to see whether or not he's capable of developing, but he's shown an edge and an intensity that I didn't think was there. And that gives me hope that he's going to take his game to another level, and I'd still want him on my team over Andrew Wiggins, as much as I like Wiggins.
Yeah, I like that you're teasing our Justice Winslow exit interview that's going to come out later this week with what you were just talking about in the playoffs. But look, I wouldn't do it. I would say no right away. I would laugh and hang up the phone. I would rather have Winslow than Wiggins. And I don't think that's me being a Heat homer. I've watched quite a bit of the Timberwolves, and I've never been impressed with Andrew Wiggins. He is a volume shooter. I think you can get that in a lot of different areas, and I think you could certainly get that for a lot cheaper than, what is it, $240 million over the next 5 years, 6 years? what we talked about it on the last podcast, the last mailbag, when we talked about this originally. I just, if you're, and then, you know, as far as the Tyler Johnson thing goes, look, I understand maybe attaching a Justice Winslow to get off that Tyler Johnson contract, but it doesn't serve any purpose if you're getting an even worse contract, or not, maybe worse might not be the right word, but an even more exuberant contract in return for Tyler Johnson, right? That doesn't, it doesn't necessarily troubleshoot the right issue. So I wouldn't do this. I have no problem with trading Tyler Johnson for Andrew Wiggins. Minnesota would not do that, obviously. Or, you know, look, Tyler Johnson's going to have 2 years left on his contract after the season. Wiggins is going to have five. So, and worth a lot more. So if Minnesota's looking for some long-term issues, Tyler Johnson actually fits a need for them, to be honest. I don't think that they would do Tyler Johnson for Andrew Wiggins. I think they'd get something better in return. But if they want, that's probably where my offer, if I'm the Heat, stops at either Tyler Johnson or Hassan Whiteside. Pick one of them for Andrew Wiggins. That's where my offer ends. That's my final offer. I don't throw Winslow in there.
That is ludicrous.
It is ludicrous, but I don't value Wiggins that much in return, and I certainly don't value him enough to part with Justice Winslow, because like you, I like Winslow's upside as far as being a player on a winning team more than Andrew Wiggins. I think that the Heat, like I said on last week's mailbag, should make a play for Wiggins. If it's Whiteside for Wiggins or something like that, it makes sense to me. But I wouldn't go much further than that at all.
Yeah, that's fair. I mean, you've been pretty consistent in your negative feelings about Wiggins. So I
actually like him. I like him more than a lot of people think. It's that contract. It scares the crap out of me. I would rather take a chance on, for example, Jabari Parker's knee. Ooh. Than Andrew Wiggins living up to that contract. It is, that thing locks you in for a long time. I mean, to pay Andrew Wiggins that much money, he needs to be either the best player or second best player on a championship level team. And that is a huge risk to take. I'd rather get Parker on a smaller, less pricey extension and bet on his knee healing before Wiggins living up to that kind of potential.
Yeah, I mean, that is a lot of money, and no doubt about it. So, I mean, he hasn't shown that he's worth, quote-unquote, that kind of money. So it's a tricky call. I just can't believe that Miami would want to do that without some kind of proof, without him being on their roster for enough time to kind of – like the way they were with, you know, with, let's say, Alonzo Mourning. You know, when they traded for him when he was disgruntled with the Charlotte Hornets – they brought him on board, saw what he was capable of for 1 year, and said, okay, we'll give him as much money as we can. And threw one of the most expensive contracts in, at that point, NBA history at him so that they could lock him up long term.
Right.
I don't think they'd do that with Andrew Wiggins, not knowing what he's like on a daily basis,
exactly.
Not knowing how he responds to coaching. And you know, I think given Miami's front office and their kind of, let's say, old-fashioned ways, they probably – think that Thibodeau handles things pretty well in Minnesota, and they probably agree with him. And then if he wasn't able to get the most out of Andrew, that probably scares Pat Riley a little bit, I'd say. So, you know, I don't see them kind of making that investment, to be honest with you.
You're right, because they wouldn't have that option, right, with Wiggins, because he's already got the contract. Right. So that's like maybe Miami is looking for a Wiggins type of situation, but a guy who they could kind of determine the next contract over Wiggins. Minnesota's going to have a hard time. If they're really serious about moving Andrew Wiggins, they're going to have a hard time moving him. That contract, I mean, we're talking about $33 to $35 million per year at the last few years of that deal. That's insane.
Yeah. For that, you roll the dice in one more year and wait till Jimmy Butler leaves Minnesota.
Maybe. You mean if you're the Heat, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. All right, well, that's all we have for today. Thank you for listening. Send us your questions and comments by emailing us at lockedonheat@gmail.com or using the hashtag AskLOHeat, and support the show by visiting our Patreon page at patreon.com/lockedonheat. Music is courtesy of Mojave Wild. We'll catch you next time. Thanks for joining me, David.
You got it, Wes.